Yo, yes, I wanted to introduce myself and then Francois caught me before. Yo, I'm a very emotional guy, so I started crying. You know, if you feel honored like that, it's hard for me to take estimated jokes. You said, if you're crying now, we don't know what it's going to look like in the service. But my name is Loki. For those of you who don't know me, I'm not a pastor. I'm an accountant, so you guys must be very excited. I'm married to the lovely Nikki. If you could just wave to all the people. She's very shy. And if you look really close, you'll see our little girl. She's coming in October. She's going to make a grand entrance. Yeah, but you know, just to start off, I'm so blessed to stand here today. It's honestly, it's just by God's grace that I can come tonight and share this word with you. And I'm so excited for what God wants to do tonight. And if you've got a notebook, get it out. It's going to be very practical. But I want to thank the worship team. Yo, we really have amazing worship. It's awesome to come into God's presence and to worship God with people like this that spend so much time and practicing and, you know, making sure that every time we walk in here on a Sunday, you know, we just walk into the presence of God. So, Stefan, you and the guys, we really bless you. It's really amazing to have you guys around. Thanks, Neil. My title for tonight's message is called to overcome. Overcoming is a real big part of a Christian life. It's actually part of our inheritance. God's really, that's what he has for every single one of us as a Christian. His intent, his heart for us is to be victorious. God has not called us to feel defeated, to have sleepless nights, to struggle, to feel useless, to cope. He's called us to live an abundant life. You know, he hasn't called us to be caught up in the worries of this temporary world, but he's really called us to be driven for eternity. And I say these things not to speak at you, but I want to say I relate to every single thing that I've mentioned. I've had my sleepless nights because of stress. I'm going through a period of amazing change in our lives, new seasons. And I know a lot of us are in the same place. Would you agree? A lot is changing. And we as South Africans, we love change, do we? But God's called us to overcome. It's his heart. He knows the plans that he has for us. His plans are good. All of them. For every single one of us. His plans are to prosper us and to give us hope. And a hope that doesn't disappoint. Can I have a get real moment quick with all of you guys? Can I just ask you guys to close your eyes and get real with me quick? Who of you are struggling to sleep at night? Thanks. Who of you sometimes just feel defeated? Thanks. And my hand's up too, but you fall into self-pity and self-doubt, and you really feel hopeless. Thanks. That was great that you guys were real with me. And I just want to say my hand's up with all of you as well. The Lord's really working with me through this thing in my life, but it's amazing. God is good. You know, tonight, the word that I'm actually sharing of the scriptures out of Revelation. Now, if you told me ever in my life I would share a word out of Revelation, I would say you are completely off it. But I can overcome. Ne? We've all heard the thing you say when you say practice what you preach. Well, I'm telling you, I'm practicing while I'm preaching tonight. But very important for tonight. I know Revelation's quite a deep book. But tonight's message is really practical. It's for application. I'm really trusting for you guys to have tools, practical tools, that can help you with your walk and overcoming. So the word that I want to share is Revelation 12 from verse 10 to 11. And if you can follow with me. This is when the apostle John was sitting on the island and the Lord revealed something to him, the island of Patmos. He said, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, 'Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death.'" Now we'll get to verse 10 a little bit later. I just want to read verse 11 again for us. "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death." So if you look closely to that word, it says that we overcome by two things. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And I say "and" emphasized like that because I've also got a little bit of a law background. And I know there's a big difference between "and" and "or" and "and or". It's "and". It's the two working together. But what I want to do tonight is I want to get practical. And if you can just go to the next slide. I want to get practical with those two things. And I want to give you guys three things for each one of them that you can apply in your life that has worked for me and that's currently working for me while I overcome. So I'm going to deal with the first one, and then I'll deal with the second one a bit later. To overcome by the blood of the Lamb. How do we do that? Would you guys agree with me there's a difference between declaring that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony and saying, how do we actually overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony? Now, I've got three practical points that I want to share with you now. But before I do that, just the blood of the Lamb refers to Jesus and the blood that was shed on the cross. You know, we're privileged that we've got Bible school and walked the long road with the Lord and we know a lot about Scripture. But if I knew nothing about Scripture, nothing at all, and I walked in here tonight and someone told me, no, listen here, you're going to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, do you think I'll be sitting here? No, I'll be running, man. I'll be out of it. So for those of you, I just want to get some context for this, for whoever you know might be in that position. When we say blood of the Lamb, we refer to the following. When Adam and Eve was here, way in the beginning, the Lord's intent was to walk a road with him. And then there was a sinfall. What happened? The devil came, he had a chat with Eve, and then they sinned against God, and then there was a complete fall of man. And then in the Old Testament, what we had to do is, because we're not in the right position with God because of that act, there needed to be a sacrifice for us to come into a good position, to be in a righteous place with God. So what happened was, only the priests in the Old Testament could actually go and they could sacrifice, or not only, but you had to sacrifice to get into a right standing with God. When Jesus came, all of that changed. He was the final lamb for us all. When he came, he was sacrificed by God for us on the cross so that we can, by the blood that was shed on the cross, we can have redemption from sin and be reconciled to God. So this refers to that. It refers to that act. So how do we overcome by the blood of the Lamb? First thing is we have to be born again. See, if we're not born again, if we haven't come to a place of repentance, we're actually disqualified from the blood of the Lamb, because we're still in the old covenant. In the new covenant, which I just told you about when Jesus came down, we can only qualify to be part of the new covenant if we actually just come to a place of repentance. I always joke, my boss always says, he's also a Christian, he says, Loki, faith is not inherited. And faith is not something that stands in your passport. You can't say, I'm a Christian in my passport, and that's how it is. I've got a cool testimony for this. I was leading a small group while at Varsity. And one night, the Lord just spoke to my heart while we had the small group, and he told me, I want you tonight to ask the guys and to tell them the following. He who is not born of the Spirit won't see God. And I told that to the guys. You could imagine what an awkward moment that was for me. But I told that because I was obedient to God, and I invited the guys who didn't even know what I was talking about when I was saying, listen, you have to be born again, you have to be born of the Spirit, to stay behind that night and talk to me after the small group. Needless to say, no one stayed behind. Yeah, just stayed awkward for me. But the next day, a guy came to me that was in that small group. And he was sitting in that small group for about 3 months. And he said that night, he could not close an eye. Because what the Lord has said to him, being born of the Spirit, was coming back and coming back. And he couldn't sleep. And you know what? He gave his heart to the Lord. And he was reborn. And he was born in the Spirit. I learned a great lesson that day. I learned that an awkward moment can produce a lot of fruit. So we have to be born again. The second thing is we have to know the Word. We have to know the Word, especially the Word about the blood of Christ and what it does for us. You know, the truth sets us free, and that's something that we need to embrace, and we need to infatuate ourselves with what the Word says about Jesus and about the blood of Jesus. So for those of you that were here when Kenny had his amazing sermon about joy, he took us through a joyride, and tonight I want to quickly take you through a truth sprint, just on this specifically. Romans 5:9 says, since now we have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Our justification comes from the blood of Jesus Christ. Fact. And justification in this sense, it means the action of declaring or making righteous in the sight of God. In other words, it's putting in the right standing with God. Ephesians 1 verse 7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Our redemption comes from the blood of Christ as Christians. And redemption in this case means the action of saving or being saved from sin. And it's so beautiful how the word puts it here, that God's grace that he lavished on us. And I love that word. I went and I looked at the meaning of that word, and it actually says, bestow something in generous or extravagant quantities on. Isn't that amazing? And he does that with all wisdom and understanding. So it's not like me when I'm in the spur, when I take that sauce and I throw it over my, lavish it over my chips, you know, just I don't care where it falls, I just want to put it on the chips so I can eat it. It's not like that. This is done with all of God's wisdom and all of God's understanding. It's a beautiful picture. Are you guys still with me? How are you feeling? Good. Are you feeling redeemed? Huh? Are you feeling justified? Yeah, amen. That's great. Ephesians 2 verse 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Colossians 1, 19 till 20 says, for God was so pleased to have all of his fullness dwell through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Our reconciliation to God the Father comes from Jesus Christ, comes from his blood. So I've dealt with the first one. We have to be born again. I've dealt with the second one. We really have to know the word. And I just put these three things down, but there's so much more that we, all of us, must learn about the blood of Jesus. The third thing, practical thing that we can do to overcome by the blood of the Lamb is communion. And we're going to do that later tonight. But Jesus put something in place in his Last Supper where he said, listen, in remembrance of me, in celebration of this new life, I've got something symbolic, powerful, that I'm giving to you guys. And do this continually in remembrance of me. Communion is not something we should just do at church here on a Sunday. It's something that you and your wife can do, you and your friends can do, small groups can do, you yourself can do. But it's something that must be done regularly. I remember at varsity when people came to me, young Christians, they normally came to me and they said, oh, Loki, I'm struggling. Yo, man, this life's hard. And they had a lot of issues and they asked me to share wisdom and all of that. You know what? I didn't have the answers, but I had one powerful tool. I would normally tell them, listen, okay, if they come to me on the Sunday, for instance, I'll say, okay, I'll give you a week if you do the one thing for me. Every morning, get up at 6 o'clock and do quiet time. And then we'll speak it on Thursday. Needless to say, come Tuesday, Wednesday, I ask them, how are you doing? They're like, nah, no problems whatsoever. I'm fine. There's no problems. And I just realized that, you know, God's ways are so much bigger and so much higher than all of us. And he's so faithful with the time that we have for him. And the same principle applies when we have communion. It's not always something that we can measure of what difference it's going to make in our lives. But the thing is, that's what God put in place for us. And if we access that by faith, things change. And we're going to do that tonight. Shake someone next to you and say, we're going to do communion a lot more often. Okay. So we did the three things on how to overcome by the blood of the Lamb. We're going to go to the next part now. We're going to do another three practical things for overcoming by the word of our testimony. Testimony, just by the way, means a declaration by a witness under oath or a public recounting of a religious experience. For those of you that like meanings of words, my wife's a teacher, so I know I have to know what I say because she can ask. And if I don't know, then I'm in trouble. Practical point number one is we have to have belief in the power of our testimony. Can I have another get real moment with you guys quick? Can I ask you guys to close your eyes again? Who of you have once in their lives, or maybe currently, when someone tells a testimony, you hear their testimony and you think, my testimony is not as good as theirs. My testimony is not as powerful as that guy's or that girl's. Oh, I wish I had a testimony like that because that testimony changes the world. My testimony can't. Thanks for those of you that are honest. I felt like that for a long time when I heard testimonies because I grew up and I was pretty a good schoolboy type of guy. I didn't really mess around. I didn't do a lot of stuff that, you know, you would normally hear and you think like, oh, what a turnaround for God. You know, it wasn't like that at all. People would generally look at me and think, yo, that's just a nice guy. And I struggled with it until God actually revealed to me that I've got one of the most powerful testimonies in the world, just like everybody else. You see, what happened to me was my heart grew cold because of hurt, because my family wasn't at a place you would normally want a family to be in, and a lot of other stuff that I don't want to go into. But I was in such a place that I could not have joy for someone else. And I'm including my friends here. So if I was at school, for instance, rugby was a big thing. And we played, and you know, everything that mattered was what team that you're playing in. And if my friends, like some of my best friends, if they did well and they got the team and they got first team, I could not get it over my heart to be happy for them. I actually felt sick. I was so jealous that it actually just sickened me to my core when someone else succeeded and someone else did well. And you know, when God came into my life, I cried for a year. Every time I went into a small group, I walked in, and a lot of you guys have heard this before, but for those of you that haven't, I walked in, and as I walked in, I started crying because Jesus touched me. The Holy Spirit touched me right there. And He took my heart and He made it soft. So now I'm a crier, like really. I cry and I'm emotional and I love it because that's what God did in my life. And you know what's the best thing? I can receive from friends. I can give to friends. And in my core, I am happy for when my friends succeed. From deep within, there's a joy. And only God can do that. You see, I told you we'll get back to Revelation 12 verse 10. It says, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say," and I'm reading verse 10, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ." That has come for all of us. Salvation has come. The power has come. The kingdom has come. It's come for every single one of us that have gotten to know Christ. Jesus says in Luke chapter 17 verse 20, actually says, the kingdom of God is within you. Just think about that. The kingdom of God is within us. That's our inheritance. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 20 says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power." And I want to illustrate this, because this happened to all of us. The power of God came into our lives when we gave our hearts to Jesus. It's there. To access it, it's a different thing. To believe it is a choice that we have to make. We have to have faith in what God's done in our lives. The Bible puts it this way. In Philippians, it puts it, it says, we actually put our confidence and trust in God to finish the work that He started in our hearts. You can read it in Philippians 2. But I want to tell you three testimonies that completely changed my life. And some of you were present for some of them, and some of them not. There was a guy that worked at my office. Amazing guy. And he looked at me and I realized that, yes, this guy, there's something about the way that he looks at me that I don't, you know, I can't get the grips on. And then as I spent time with the Lord, I realized that what he's seeing is he's actually seeing the kingdom. He's actually seeing stuff that he doesn't understand, but he's drawn to. And we became friends, and we went for the one lunch. We went to Cavendish Square and we sat there. And there was this point in time where I just sat and I said, "Lord, have your way with this guy." And the Holy Spirit came. The first thing he said, we didn't even start lunch yet, he said, "Lucky, tell me about your God." And there in Cavendish, in Kauai, this guy gave his heart to the Lord. And it was at that time where I realized that we are just witnesses of grace. There's grace operating within us. There's grace operating around us. The kingdom of God is in us, through us, around us. It goes wherever we go, because that's the inheritance that we have. We had morning services, and we went to one of the morning services quite a while back. It was our previous venue. And he, lo and behold, here arrives this friend of mine. I didn't even tell him about the morning service. Here he comes. I was astonished to have that guy here at the morning service a while back. And when the worship started, Stefan, I don't know if you remember, but when the worship started, Stefan sang the song, I can't remember, the "How Beautiful You Are, You're Beautiful," that song. You know that, like a Chris Tomlin, I think it is. And when that song started, the Holy Spirit touched this friend of mine. He started crying and shaking in his chair. He didn't stop for the sermon. He didn't stop for after the sermon. He just went on crying. And the only thing that he could get out, and sorry, I get out of my skin, is, "I never knew God was all around me. I never knew that He was in the accident." Now I hear a lot of stuff about this guy's life. "I never knew that He was here when my dad did this. I never knew, but I see Him in my past, in my present, in my future." That guy walked out there that morning, and you should have seen it. I can't illustrate, I'm gonna. He walked out, and as he walked out and saw the mountain, he was like this, boom. And I said, "What's going on with you?" He said, "I've never seen something so beautiful. My life changed when the Lord touched my friend." You know, this guy's got no scriptural background. He's not as blessed. He didn't go to Sunday school. Was it Sunday school like I did? You know, I actually thought, how am I actually going to disciple this guy? He's got no reference for me to start with. And the Lord just showed me his ways are higher and his thoughts are higher. He took this guy that was nowhere and revealed Jesus to him. And that's all that we need. He came to me, Loki, can I borrow that Walking with Jesus book? I said, sure. He came to me, moved away. He said, Loki, can I have your Walking with Jesus book? I said, sure, take it. You know what? I don't need to convince him. I don't need to chat to him. I don't need to tell him anything. He met God in his fullness of his power. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes, there's no more negotiating. There's no more debating. It's done. It's truth. It's there. When I came to the Lord, my dad thought this church was a cult. I'll be honest with you guys. And then he heard, okay, cool. The Varsity says they can use one of their venues, then okay, that must be okay. So they can't be a cult. That's how my walk started with the Lord. I got baptized because I felt the Lord called me to get baptized. My dad wasn't too keen on it, but you know, it was fine. And my dad was living in Tanzania at that point in time, and he was down for a visit. And one Sunday morning, this was after fights, debating, and trying to convince my dad about the truth. And one morning, my dad woke up and he said, are we going to church? One Sunday morning. So I thought, yeah, no, we go to church. I thought, I'm going to go to your church. I'm not going to take you to my church. I don't want another fight. And I asked him, like, okay, Dad, where do you want to go to? He said, no, let's go to your church. I'm like, oh, this isn't going to be a day. Any case, that point in time, we were in Melkbos at that point in time. They just started a church in Malmesbury. They had one service a month. And lo and behold, that weekend was the service that they had in Malmesbury. So it was half an hour's drive to the service. My dad and I sat on the side. My dad sat right next to me. And when the service started, I realized that the Lord Almighty has got a sermon and a message for my dad today. When they did the altar call that day, my dad handed me off like Jonah Lomu did in the 95 World Cup. I fell on the ground and my dad was in front, repenting, having a living, powerful experience with the Holy Spirit. Chatted to my dad afterwards, asked him, like, what happened? Do you know that you pushed me? And my dad said, I don't know what happened. I just felt electricity all over my body. And I knew it was my time to be in front. And I couldn't really understand how I got to the front, but I was there and I was crying. And then my dad asked me a very vulnerable question. And he said, son, did you ever think that I would do something like that? And that moment was precious for me because the Lord came in his power. The Holy Spirit came and saved my dad. And the reason why I tell you that is because there's a power that comes with our lives that are bigger than us. I always joke with people when they ask, how's it going at the office? I say, no, I'm a witness of grace because I am. Sometimes I joke and I say, no, I just sort of look where God's moving and I follow there. Because God is moving all around us because his kingdom is within us. And everywhere we go, his kingdom goes with us because that is our inheritance. And when the kingdom comes, it comes in confirmation. Every time Jesus went and he talked about the gospel, there was a confirmation of the gospel in its power. It works hand in hand. So when I'm at my office and I share with people, I put my faith out and I pray for them for their sicknesses and they get healed. It's the most amazing thing. It's something that, you know, puts you in those awkward moments again. But there's a lot of fruit in awkward moments, like I told you. Number two, declaration of a testimony. Sometimes we have to declare to ourselves what the Lord has done in our lives. Who of you can relate with that? Who of you can relate with when the devil comes, and he does come, when the adversary comes and he wants to bring discouragement and he wants to bring lies, where all you have is the truth to stand on. Like with me, the devil came with all his accusations when my heart changed, saying, nah, but you are jealous and nah, you this and you don't like people and what. You know, at the end of the day, I know what the Lord did in my heart. He gave me a new one, brand new. No negotiating, no debating. He changed me. It was the love of God that he lavished on me and made me new. Just for those, like I said, like my wife's a teacher, the meaning of declaration is to make known formally or officially. It's to state emphatically with authority and or to reveal or to make manifest. So I tell you this, when the devil comes, when the adversary comes, you've got the most powerful tool in your bag. It's what God's done in your life. It's what God has done in your heart, in your family, in your friends. He's given you something that cannot be penetrated by the arrows of the devil, of the enemy. It can't. That's what David did in the Bible so well. He declared when he was down and out, he said, "Oh, my soul, be still. Know that he is God. Know that what he's done for me." And he recited all the battles that he won and everything that God brought upon his path. Number three, are you guys still with me? Okay, cool. Sharing of our testimony. I got this chocolate before because, like I said, I'm becoming a daddy. This is my dad, my Father's Day present. It's liquor. But imagine I kept my chocolate there in my pocket. And I stood in front of you guys the whole time and I took a bite. And I walked and I said, "Great, oh, lovely you guys. I took a bite." Sometimes we do that with God. You know, we walk around the power in our pocket. Take a bite. This is a nice chocolate, eh? Do you know how easy it is to share? Do you want my chocolate? Did you see how easy it was for her to take the chocolate? And I know I'm joking around, but that's what it is. We've got something good. We've got a story. And you know what? People love hearing what's happening in other people's lives. We went on a mission to Botswana. When was that? April. 2 years back. 1 year back. And we came back and we got a CD with pictures. And yo, it was an amazing mission. And when I got back to the office, everybody wanted to know, "How was your mission?" And I just shared the whole mission with them. On photos. Every single thing I shared with them, everybody wanted to know. So much so that after sharing something like that, a girl came to my office and she gave her life to the Lord right there. I've found that sharing what God does in my life, just in mine, not coming and saying, "You need to eat this chocolate. That's chocolate you have to eat." Saying, "Listen, I've got a chocolate. Do you want some of it?" People don't get defensive when you share with them what's going on in your life. Witnessing is probably one of the most powerful things that the Lord has ever put on this earth. I remember I got a job offer, and this is just to illustrate. I want to practically illustrate how this works. I got a job offer 2 years back, and I was in the office, and everybody found out about this other job offer, and the one girl asked me, "Why aren't you going to take it?" So I said, "Because I honestly believe the Lord told me no, I must be here." And her response was, "Yes, I wish the Lord would talk to me like that." See, when we drop our walls, when we break our bubbles, when we open our doors and invite people in, they come. We need to drop our walls. We need to be ready to invite people. And we need to be ready to share. Because freely we've been giving, freely we can give. And I just want to end off with one thing. It's something cool. While I was preparing, I read and I thought, yo, this thing is changing my life at this point in time. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Christ. And I read a lot of stuff about it, and there was this one little piece that I read, and I want to share it with you guys. And it applies to testimony, and it applies to sharing and testimonies in general. It says that when we share our testimony with someone, when you share what God has done in your life, in your heart with someone, it's kind of like a prophetic word that you're speaking over that person, which enables them to have the same victory or the same work in their heart. And what I love about that is because when we share what God has done in our lives, there's a mutual encouragement of faith. Because I'm excited for my one friend that got saved and the Lord just came down, and it was amazing to see how God changed him. But I know that every time when I share this with someone, I know something happens in their life because I can see that their faith is stirred as well. That they know that if they invite someone just to come to church, their faith is in a place where they know that if that song begins, the Lord comes and He touches His child. And one moment can change a person's life forever. The Lord has called us to shine. He's called every single one of us to be on top of a mountain, like a city on a hill, to shine. That is my message for tonight. Three practical things for two ways which God has by scripture told us how we can overcome. Can I just have the worship team come to the front quick? Just close your eyes with me. Father, I just thank you for this moment, Father, in your presence, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the gift of Jesus, Lord, the gift of salvation. I thank you, Lord, that your grace is sufficient, Father, and the work of the cross, Father, conquered all, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the truth, Father, that every single one of us, Lord, has been fearfully and wonderfully made, Father, and that the testimony, Father, that you've started in our hearts, Father, is one that is sound, Father, and that carries power by the kingdom and by your spirit, Father. And I just lift up your name, Father, over every heart, Lord. Maybe you're here tonight and you can't even relate to overcoming by the blood of the Lamb. Maybe you've never met the one true Lamb or the truth of it. And I want to extend an invitation to you tonight to if that's you, to respond in your heart to God. You see, the Lord is a gentleman, and the Holy Spirit comes and He touches you. He speaks to your heart. And you feel your heart bouncing. And you feel your heart being pulled and tugged towards the Father's heart. And all we need to do is respond to that. So if you don't have that relationship with God, if you're not there yet, it's fine. But if you feel the tugging in your heart to come to the Father's heart, will you just put up your hand tonight? If that's you, if you feel that the Lord is speaking to your heart, is there anybody like that? Maybe you're here and you relate to what I said about not believing in the power of your testimony, and you're struggling to overcome, and for long you've tried, but the victory just doesn't come, and you fall into a place of despair. If that's you, would you just also raise your hand? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? If you feel the Lord tugging at your heart, don't be shy. We're a family here. I just want to pray over you guys. Father, I bless you for these people, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you, Father, have started a work in their lives, Father. I thank you, Lord, Father, that every single one of them, Lord, is fearfully and wonderfully made, Father. By your hand, Lord, the hairs on their heads are counted, Father. You've made them special, Father. You've taken time, Father, to think about them, Father. Before the foundations of the world, Father, you've spoken them into being, Father. And Lord, I just lift your name up over them, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that by your Spirit, Father, we can declare, Lord, deliverance over their lives, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father. Thank you, Lord, that your truth, Lord, sets them free, Father. And Father, as they apply, Lord, as they seek you, Father, they will discover, Father, that in you, Lord, they are whole, Father. They lack nothing, Lord. For you've come, Father, to give them life and life in abundance. Can I have some ushers come down and just pray with these people, please? And I just want to say, if you raised your hand tonight, or even if you didn't, if your heart tugged and you didn't respond, the Lord is not bound by anything. And I just want to say that you're not missing anything if you didn't come to the front. The Lord can meet you anywhere. He can meet you in your house. He can meet you in your car. He can meet you in the shower. He can meet you anywhere. But I would urge you to follow the tugging of the Holy Spirit in your heart, and not to quiet or quench that. Francis is going to lead us in communion quick.
Thank you, Lord, that we can just eat and drink in remembrance of you and what you've done on the cross for us, Lord. As Loki testified of what's been done in his life, so we also want to move out and also testify of your words that you've shared with us and the acts that you've moved through us, Lord. We eat and drink these elements in remembrance of you and what you have done, also what you're going to do. And we want to thank you as a family for your power, Lord. And I thank you for your sacrifice and your obedience to death for us, Jesus. And as we eat this bread, we think of how your body was broken on the cross for our sakes. And you thought of all our sins, the sins of the world, when your body was broken. We thank you for that. Thank you also, Lord, for your blood that was shed for us. As Loki explained what your blood means for us, Jesus, it washes us clean. Lord, it reconciles us with you, Lord. Thank you for your blood that washes us clean. Thank you that we can drink in remembrance of your sacrifice. Once again, we come before you and declare that we are clean because we're washed by your blood. Thank you, Jesus.
Guys, the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. Have a blessed week.